Hello, you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay, and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies, and sometimes we talk about other stuff. My name's Erin, and this is Garbage. The garbage is the receipt.
And I'm Erin, and ladies, I would love it if you would email me. I look forward to hearing your letters and especially seeing those pics. Send as many pics as possible, full length and headshot, even videos of you dancing.
Oh, especially. Send them to Erin at gazegaze.com if you know what I mean. Hey.
Welcome to Codependent Lesbian Space Alien Seek Same.
Yeah. It's the second part of our unexpected two-part indie black and white feature.
Yes. Erin, how'd you find this one?
I literally Googled comedy lesbian movie, and this was like one of the first things that popped up. And obviously it's so weird, or at least like, you know, the title is so strange that I'm like, what the fuck is this? I want to watch it.
And the movie poster as well. It's giving 1960s sci-fi comedy realness.
It really is. I mean, that's what it's trying to emulate, like 1950s sci-fi low budget B movie. And it delivers. Oh,
it's so hard. Yeah, I loved this.
Oh my god, there was so much of this movie where I was like, I probably shouldn't be enjoying this as much as I am, but I really am.
It's the camp. This movie succeeds in camp.
It's the fucking camp. Why did nobody go as the aliens from this movie to the Met Gala where the theme was camp?
You're so right.
That would have been dead on.
That could have been us.
The Met Gala. God. Us in bald caps and these really big Victorian collars showing up to the Met Gala.
Yeah.
Doing the robot, trying to find a date.
Yep. Man, I love these lesbian aliens.
Me too. This, it, you know, it really gives Saturday Night Live sketch, but like a good one.
Yeah, actually that is kind of what it's delivering.
Yeah, it is.
Before we get into the summary, to me the humor was so similar to like the humor that's used in What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, really?
I thought so, yeah, where it's like, you know, the horny vampire that are getting into hijinks and trouble, and then there's the one like rational, sane human that's like, what is going on here? A little bit of that, but also like if Guillermo and Nandor truly were openly in love, and like, yeah.
Well, yeah, the main character Jane is definitely giving butch lesbian Guillermo.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Or, well, she came first, so I should really say that Guillermo is giving gay Jane. Man Jane.
Honestly, yeah, she did it first. She has that same fucking sex appeal too.
Yes. And as, oh my god, who is the, what's the name of the lesbian who can get it?
Oh no, oh I know, you're thinking about Leah DeLaria. Yeah, aka Leah Big DeLario. Boob.
A little bit of Leo DeLario swag.
A little bit, but like not at all, because Jane is like so socially awkward, and Big Boo's thing is that she commands the room.
It's
obviously
true. It's true.
Leah DeLaria is a self-identified daddy.
Yeah,
Jane is not.
No.
But I do see it. They kind of look a little similar. I do see it.
They look a little similar. Different vibes. But I will also feel free to email us or tweet at us if you see the butch lesbian Guillermo. Because I texted that to my friend who really loves What We Do in the Shadows. And she was like, oh, you're right. Oh, my God. And she was like, where did you watch this movie? I have to watch it right now. Yeah, this movie is available on a couple of different, like, free movie sites with ads. So
I believe I watched it on Tubi.
I think I watched it on Tubi as well. So I thought this was really great. So definitely give it a watch if you like and come back, or feel free to sit through this if you don't mind spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
This movie opens on Jane recounting an interaction that she had with a UFO where the UFO dropped her a flirtatious note. Her therapist assumes this was a dream, or that she's coming up with fantasies because she can't make friends or get a date in real life. Jane admits that she's had a hard time interacting with people, but she's sure that this encounter was real. Meanwhile, on an alien planet, the ozone layer is being destroyed. The aliens conclude that this is being caused by, quote, big feelings, specifically of love, which create a gravitational pull that destroys the ozone layer by pulling it out of the atmosphere. Zoinks is identified as the alien with such big feelings. Aliens who have big feelings are sent to Earth so that they can get their hearts broken by an Earthling and come back to the planet as an emotionless husk of their former selves. Zoinks is sent to Earth to meet up with two others of her kind who have already been sent there and are going through the process of getting their hearts broken, Xylar and Bar. Zoinks goes to Earth, but her communication device is broken. She ends up at a stationery store where Jane works, seeking a radio transmitter. Jane tells her that they don't sell that, so instead, Zoinks buys this romantic card and she gives it to Jane. And then the two go on a date.
Yeah.
Zoinks is awkward, but Jane finds this really endearing. So they go back to Jane's place afterwards. Ooh. Meanwhile, with Xylar and Bar, they haven't had a lot of luck when it comes to dating humans on Earth. Bar just really isn't interested in dating any humans, and Xylar goes on a lot of dates, but she always ends up alienating a potential love interest. Did you like that?
Yeah.
The pair decide that they should go look at things that typically make people sad as an alternative way to experience heartbreak. They don't feel anything while looking at the beauty of the ocean, but they start sobbing while watching a revolving dessert tray.
I get it. I completely get it.
Overcome with emotion, they end up having alien sex with each other. Gasp. Afterwards, Xylar ditches Bar for a human, but Bar waits for her at her door to confront her about it. Xylar says they only had sex because the cheesecake rotating in the dessert tray clouded her sense, but Bar insists that there's something real between them. She wants them to grow a relationship together, even if that means that they can't return to their home world. Xylar eventually relents and confesses that she does have feelings for Bar, but she won't follow through on them. However, Bar has brought her a cheesecake, and she cannot resist. It's a New York cheesecake, too.
Oh, man, I understand this so much.
Despite their connection, Xylar makes vlogs in order to get more dates with humans. It's successful, and women start blowing up her phone. Throughout the movie, two government agents are following Jane. One is a rookie, and the other one has been on the job for years, but he doesn't seem very competent. They're supposed to cover up the existence of aliens, and they think that Jane and Zoinks are being too public with their alien affair. However, it doesn't really seem like Jane realizes that Zoinks is an alien in the first place.
Yeah, she does not.
On a date on Coney Island, Jane tells Zoinks that she really likes her because she always expresses herself so honestly, and she doesn't seem to care what other people think. Zoinks says she always has fun when she's with Jane, and that she wants to stay with her forever. Bar confronts Xylar about the dates that she's been going on with Earthlings after her series of vlogs. Xylar claims that the women don't mean anything to her, and that Bar is her number one, but Bar can't stand to see her with other people. She starts crying and says that she wants to go back to their homeworld. Xylar goes on a dating show, but it's just so that she can contact Zoinks, who always watches that program. She lets Zoinks know that her and Bar are going to go back to their homeworld tomorrow night. Jane comes home early with a customized gift for Zoinks and asks if they can go out to a movie. The whole time, though, Zoinks is depressed about her impending trip and acts super sad on the date. Afterwards, Zoinks tells Jane that she needs to go back from where she came from. She confesses that she is a space alien, and she apologizes for not telling Jane sooner. Jane says that it makes sense that Zoinks is from outer space, since no one from Earth has ever liked her. Also, because Zoinks has gills.
She's like, well, that explains the gills, I guess. Oh, man, I knew it was too good to be true.
Zoinks points out her home planet in the night sky, and the two say their goodbyes. But the next day, Jane runs to catch up with Zoinks. The senior government agent tries to follow her, but the rookie partner foils him. He's unable to tail Jane after he misses the train that she's getting on. The three aliens meet up at their spaceship. Xylar tells Zoinks that they've been called back to the planet because it turns out the ozone layer is being depleted not because of big feelings, but because the sun is reflecting off of their shiny bald heads.
Yeah.
It's played so straight, too. It's
yeah, it's like, and that's what it is. And they're like, oh, okay.
They're just like, okay, we just gotta wear hats now. Jane runs onto the spaceship before it takes off. Xylar insists that no person is worth leaving your home planet for, but Jane and Zoinks think otherwise. The UFO takes off before Jane can be kicked off of it. Jane is seen in alien garb at the end of the movie, touching noses with Zoinks, which is the alien sex ritual.
Yes, put your hand on the other person's nose.
Also, it turns out the rookie secret agent was secretly an alien, and he teleports away at the end of the movie.
Presumably from a different planet, because he looks nothing like Xylar, Zoinks, and Barr.
Yeah.
They are all bald, and I think that they come from an alien planet that is all lesbians. Right.
On the news program, there was one person who was shown who kind of seemed to be a man, but I don't know.
Perhaps. Who knows?
Also, we didn't say the content warnings. All the stuff with the secret agents can kind of, it's all just kind of pointless. It's them meandering around.
Yeah.
It doesn't take up that much of the movie, but there is one scene at the beginning where the rookie cop asks the other man if his wife is a trans man. And
he's very insistent about it.
Yeah, he's like, this guy's talking about his wife and he's like, is it legal for you guys to be married? And it was like, what? And it was like, well, is she a trans man? And it was like, what? And so it like, I was like, is this supposed to be funny? Like it
didn't make sense to me.
It didn't make sense to me. Then like last night when I was brushing my teeth, I was like, is it because he's an alien and all aliens are gay?
And so he's trying to make sense of it. He's like, oh, so then your wife has to be a trans man because the only way that you can be in a relationship and be married is with somebody of the same gender as you?
Yeah. I don't understand. And I just say this as a content warning because it almost...
It comes off transphobic. Yeah.
The only good conversation that they had was when the one cop was talking about how his wife and him at their wedding dressed up like the Little Mermaid, both of them.
I was obsessed with that. Why?
I thought that was so good.
He was like, yeah, our wedding was the Little Mermaid themed. We were both the mermaid. Like, what? You can't just like drop that. Or I mean, obviously they can. It was so fucking funny.
Really good. Really good. This movie, when I'm like laughing so much now, I like giggled a little bit while I was watching it, but like, it's so dry that you're not really laughing. But then I'm like talking about these things and they're just so funny to me.
Yeah. It's a very strange sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun. I love the idea of the lesbian space aliens coming to Earth and seeking love and finding struggles in love or finding your perfect match. Wow.
I know.
Zoinks and Jane's relationship is so cute.
It really is. Though, oh my god, when I was watching this movie, there are a lot of scenes with Jane at her place of work. And I was like, this really, really looks like this stationery store that's on 6th Avenue called Stevan Stationers. And I was like, there's no way. You know, it's New York. Everything looks the same. Like, it's just like an interior of a building that sells stationery. There's no way. Yeah. But then at the end of the movie, they drive up 6th Ave. And so now I'm like, oh my God, was it that place?
It probably was. Yeah.
They just moved locations. They're across the street now. But yeah, this movie was so much fun. And it was made, as we mentioned before, to be a parody of like low budget 50s B movies. Also kind of in the style of Ed Wood, but it's also supposed to parody lesbian culture in the way that the different space aliens interact with their love interests, or many love interests if you're Xylar.
Yes. Were you familiar at all with the director, Madeline Olneck?
I wasn't.
I actually, after seeing that she directed this, I immediately was like, oh my god, I recognize this name. She also directed a very iconic movie that has been on our to-watch list forever, which is Wild Nights with Emily.
No way!
Yeah, and also, by the way, almost the entire cast of Codependent Space Alien is also in Wild Nights with Emily. I would assume that they're personal friends of hers.
Oh my god.
Wild Nights with Emily was a very highly acclaimed movie that came out in 2018 that discusses Emily Dickinson's life as a writer and also her lesbian relationship with Susan Gilbert, who is her sister-in-law, mm-hmm. and also who becomes Susan Dickinson, obviously, is her sister-in-law. But in the movie, she is played by the same woman that plays Zoinks.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I've seen Wild Nights with Emily, of course. But
really?
Yeah. But I also, when I saw it, it was at a special screening where Madeline Olneck.
Olneck was there.
Yeah, she spoke afterwards.
I can't. Oh my god, that's incredible.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she made this movie.
Oh my god. She was so cool. Yeah, she talked about how she, like, really struggled to find funding for Wild Nights with Emily for, like, years.
I believe that.
And the movie, like, almost didn't get made because they just couldn't get anybody to fund it.
I personally haven't seen it because, admission, I've actually never read any of Emily Dickinson's work. Mm-hmm. So I, like, have always been like, I want to read something before I commit to watching the movie. But I feel like, honestly, I should just watch it and that'll inspire me to read something. You know?
Yeah.
I should take it the opposite direction. We should just do an episode on it.
Yeah.
That's another one we've talked about doing with Hoops, I believe, because as we know, Hoops is a literature fan and a lesbian romance literature fan.
Mm-hmm.
She loves a Regency novel. So, and by the way, the woman who plays Jane, she plays Maggie. I don't know who Maggie is, but yeah, she's also in Wild Nights with Emily.
Mm. Wow, I feel so silly for not knowing that. Also, I'm sure she mentioned codependent lesbian space alien Seek Same when she was, like, talking about Wild Nights with Emily. I just, that was, like, four, oh, that was 5 years ago, yeah. At this point. I just don't remember.
Yeah. I should note that I feel like you would enjoy this. On her Wikipedia page, Madeline Olneck, it says that she considers herself, quote, a lady homosexual, unquote, who likes to tell jokes,
yeah.
obviously. Yeah.
Amazing. Holy shit.
But yeah, and then the only movie that she made in between these two, so Codependent Lesbian Space Alien, that came out in 2011. Wild Nights came out in 2018, so 7 years later. In 2013, she made the film The Foxy Merkins.
I'm looking at this. Also with Lisa Haas.
Yes, it's also starring Lisa Haas. Lisa Haas plays a, quote, down on her luck hooker in training who meets up with a beautiful, self-assured grifter from a wealthy family who is an expert on servicing women, even though she considers herself proudly heterosexual, and the two of them strike up a relationship. So
very interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I don't know if this is one that I would pick up and be like, yeah, I gotta watch this. But now that I know that she made it, I'm curious.
Yeah.
You know?
The fact that it's called The Foxy Merkins
is funny. Yeah.
Is hooker still an appropriate word?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
Yeah.
Do you want me it to is not. Cut that? That's the direct quote. No, I think it's okay to include it. I would just also include this context that, yeah, it's not an appropriate word anymore.
Yeah.
I was just used the word sex worker.
Yeah. Seriously.
Also, by the way, The Foxy Merkins, the tagline is, see what's lurking.
With the merkin.
Yeah.
How widely known is it that a merkin is a pubic wig?
Not as widely known as it should be. Yeah, a pubic hair wig.
Oh, wow. I loved Wild Nights with Emily's.
So that was eye-opening for you to learn this.
Yes. Well, I feel very silly because I met her and I just kind of forgot. You know, lots of things happened to me. How am I supposed to remember all of them?
You've met many lesbians in your life.
I've met many lesbians.
You've met countless lesbians.
Wow. You've directed 3 lesbian movies at least. I'm actually not totally sure. Well, I have a lesbian podcast. And
oh my god.
We talked about Rick and Morty one time.
And now we can never talk about Rick and Morty ever again.
My god, yes.
No, she made 3 short films as well. 3 feature films, 3 short films before she did Codependent Lesbian Space Alien.
Man, I bet she's out here. That's another person who I think I should just shout out my window until she comes and knock in.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's still in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, she also was an active member of ACT UP. Back in the day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Nice.
Which obviously many people who are older now and still around in the queer community and in New York were involved with ACT UP. The directors of Go Fish as well, they met through ACT UP advocacy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they started dating. Yep.
Oh, excellent.
At least that's what I have read online.
Our last episode, we did Go Fish. And that had like a lot of, what was the word that we used? Like a kind of typical person that you kind of see sometimes, like not a trope, but just like a standard type of lesbian, I guess.
Yeah, a stereotype.
Yeah, not even like a stereotype because it's kind of true.
Well, a stereotype can be kind of true.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I guess like the stereotypes of lesbians.
Yeah.
That was part of the reason why I thought this movie was really funny and I really enjoyed it.
Charming. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have Zoinks who U-hauls to a new planet with like
the first person she meets.
Yeah. I mean, it really is a match made in on Earth. Ooh.
Whoa. Yeah.
But, that was just so funny. And the fact that Xylar, like, her opening scene is her going on a series of dates where, again, she's just kind of acting like an alien, but she's talking about, like, how she was dating 100 people at once at one point, and, like, it's just very funny. I don't know.
We get three completely different stereotypes about lesbians with each of the three aliens.
Yeah. The person who's in love with her friend.
Yes.
Who just wants her friend all to herself.
Yep. And then the ladies' girl. Mm-hmm. The playgirl. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Zoinks, who is the U-hauler, the overcommitted. But then also we have Jane, who is such a normal contrast to everyone else,
mm-hmm.
and who plays the straight man, but who is maybe a little bit of an unexpected straight man. I think that is what brings her, again, when I watched it, that made me think about Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows, where it's like, you are a very atypical, normal person in this situation. Like, in any other cast, you would not be the normal one, but you are. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely like a Dungeons and Dragons like nerd type, definitely like an outcast at school. But in this situation, when you're with a bunch of aliens, like, you're the regular one, quote unquote.
Yes. Yep. And that makes her so charming too, because she's the one who has her head on straight compared to everyone else, right? So it's like, wow, she's so cool.
I know. And again, she's just so used to people not paying any attention to her that, like, she can completely overlook the fact that Zoinks is so weird.
I know. Yeah.
And even find that, like, a trait that she really likes about her.
Yeah, she's really charmed by it. She's like, oh my God, like, I have all these anxieties and stresses about how I'm perceived and about other people. But Zoinks doesn't have any of those fears. She can just be herself and be who she wants to be. And I would like to be more like that. So it's nice seeing the two of them pull inspiration from one another too, as Zoinks learns, you know, how to rein it in a little bit, and Jane learns how to let loose. So they end up being a really good match.
And at the end of the movie, when Jane decides to go back to Zoinks' home planet with her, Xylar's like, you'll be considered a freak if you come back to our home planet. You'll be an oddity. And Jane's like, you know what? That's like what I'm like here anyway. It won't be any different.
Yeah. I also think it's so sweet. So this movie's in black and white, but when everyone goes back to their home planet and Zoinks and Jane are in love together, we get to see the film in color for a moment, which is really sweet. Like, oh my gosh, my world is so much brighter and more colorful with my girlfriend. Wow, how nice.
Have you seen any, like, 50s B-movies?
Not really. It's not at all a B-movie, but, like, the only movie that I can think of that has even a remotely similar tone from that era is Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is not a sci-fi movie. It's a Cold War movie, but yeah. Has that same, like, weird fucking humor, you know?
Yeah, ultra dry.
Yep.
Weird.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, this was, again, as we already mentioned, like, this was inspired by Ed Wood. I actually haven't seen any of his movies, really.
I was unfamiliar with his work, but now I'm curious. Mm-hmm.
The most well-known one is Plan 9 from Outer Space. At least, like, or that's the one that, like, sticks out to me, as I've heard a lot about.
He also did make a film that I'm looking at right now that is very interesting. It's a docudrama called Glenn or Glenda, which was an exploitation film about cross-dressing and trans identity in the 50s. And the Wikipedia that I'm seeing, it says that Wood himself was a cross-dresser, quote unquote, and the film is a plea for tolerance for the community. When it was released, it was considered one of the worst films ever made, but since then it has gone on to become a cult film due to low budget production values, idiosyncratic style, and early cinematic themes of transgender acceptance.
Yeah.
I'm very curious now. And I guess the lore, too, is that, you know, the main character of Glenn or Glenda has to confront the fact that, you know, they were assigned male at birth. They prefer to present female, mm-hmm. but they're still interested in women. So they have to confront all of the doctors who are like, well, if you were really a woman, you know, then you would be a heterosexual woman and interested in men. So, like...
Yeah.
It's not real, basically, which was very interesting for the 50s to bring up in film.
And ooh, that means it's podcast eligible.
Yeah, and also for it to be based on Ed Wood's true experience as well. Mm-hmm. And Ed Wood actually played Glenn/Glenda as well in that movie. Yeah, so directed, wrote, and starred as the lead. And also Bela Lugosi was the other lead, who is best known for being Dracula in the movie Dracula.
Ah.
So that's very interesting. So it makes sense then, too, that codependent lesbian space alien, when talking about, you know, those schlocky science fiction and horror movies of the 50s, would reference Ed Wood specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Queer people drawing inspiration from other queer works.
Is that where the line about the, is your wife a trans man, comes in? Is that what it was referencing? I don't know. I'm still so confused by that line.
Me too.
If you know what that means, please email us at erin@casecase.com.
By the way, like, Ed Wood later in life went on to make sexploitation porn films.
Yeah.
Which, interesting that they didn't reference any of that in this one.
They're being a little bit selective.
Yeah. Oh my god, wait, one final thought about Ed Wood. There's a movie, a biopic of his life that was directed by Tim Burton.
Yeah, with Johnny Depp. And
starring Johnny Depp as Ed Wood. Yeah, that's so fucking sad. I would be very, really curious to watch it, though.
Yeah, me too. Wow, I don't know what to say about this movie. The cheesecake scene was definitely...
That one stands out. I can only see the beauty in life when I see a delicious cheesecake in front of me. I feel
truly. I feel life is the excitement of watching the cheesecake rotate towards you and the sadness of watching it disappear behind the tray, the revolving tray.
Yeah. Oh my God. We can't see the beauty in the ocean or the natural world, but we can see the beauty in desserts. It reminded me of when you and I were in New York and we were going to the Soto Spa and we looked in the window of like the giant croissants that were like strawberry croissants and matcha croissants and
oh my god, and the fruit tarts.
Fruit tart croissant. And but we had just eaten like an impossible croissant which and we were like, we can't get the croissants because we have to go to the spa and we can't like take the croissants with us, and like the depression we felt when we couldn't get the croissants. But then when we got home from the spa and we walked past the croissant shop again, not only was it open, but the croissants were half off.
I know. Yeah, they were just about to close, so we got all the croissants.
Yes. Anyway, it made me think about that.
Yeah. Oh my god, a beautiful moment in my life.
Yeah.
If you ever come to New York, that was Angelita Bakery on 8th Ave.
Yeah, so. Just off of Times Square.
Also, at the end when they're driving up 6th Ave, there is a Japanese grocery store called Dainobu.
That you and I have been to just ourselves many times, and that you have been to more times than could even be counted. Like,
truly.
Every day, almost, for a while.
I know, yeah. When it used to be one of the main places I would eat. But it was so wild because I was watching the end of the movie. I was like, this looks so familiar. And then, like, I was like, no, my God. I know that store. They're on 6th Ave. Like, oh.
Yep.
It was very exciting for me.
You and I, when I come to visit New York, we would walk to Dainobu. We would get a giant J-pop hard shochu highball. And we would get a bento and a bread.
Yeah.
And then we would just go back to your apartment and binge eat
Yum, 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 yum.
And drink our giant beverage and play Minecraft.
Yeah.
That's literally... literally living the life, actually.
If you come to New York, you gotta get a croissant, and then you gotta get a bento, and then you gotta play Minecraft.
And you have to go to the Sojo spot. We already gotta go to the Sojo spot. Have we mentioned on the podcast that we talked about the Sojo spot, and somebody messaged us and was like, thank you so much for the recommendation. I went to the Sojo spot, and it was the best experience of all time.
Oh my god. No, we haven't mentioned that on the podcast. Yeah. I love that.
I know. That made me smile so much when we got that message. If you're still listening... by some miracle, reach out. That, yeah, that just made our days.
I know, yeah. Go get a croissant.
Go get, yeah, next time if you're going to the Sojo spot and you're taking the shuttle, make sure you get the croissant at the, what was it, the Angelita Bakery? The Angelique Bakery?
Angelina Bakery. I don't know if I said it right the first time.
I think you said Angelita, anyway, but that's
probably. You know me.
It's fine.
I don't know. Have you ever been on a date where somebody has been extremely awkward and you don't know what to do?
Not personally, but I would love to hear your stories about it. I actually wanted to ask you
oh yeah,
about how some of your experiences have aligned with the space aliens.
Oh man, I will say, so there's a scene, I think it's like Zoinks and Jane's second date. They go to a gay bar and they go into the basement to dance, and Zoinks is just dancing like a weirdo, like putting her head down and like basically trying to headbutt Jane and just like moving in a weird way. And then as they're dancing, I think it's Xylar shows up for like just a second behind Jane and then like runs away. Like, I'm sure that was not planned in the script or something. I don't know. It was great. But yeah, I have my iconic bad date story that I used to tell, which... this was many, many years ago. I don't know where this person is now, but I hope they're doing well. But we went on a date, and this was actually like our second date. And at the time, I was living in Michigan, so I had my car, and I picked them up from their house where they were living. And they were like, oh, I need to get ready. And they pulled out a pair of scissors and they cut their jeans into jorts in the passenger seat of my car.
I forgot about this.
And I was like, and honestly, incredible. This is actually like kind of like an alpha move.
It is the power move of the century.
It is the power move.
I'm sorry, I gotta get ready for our going out. Cuts my pants into jorts.
So kind of incredible, actually. I'm like, that's, you know what, I can kind of feel this. What I did not feel is that then we went to the gay bar.
Yes.
And they proceeded to, there was a mirror at this gay bar, they got right in front of the mirror and danced with themselves for the entire night. Would not turn around and look at me, didn't look at anybody except for themselves in the mirror. And I was so incredibly uncomfortable that I was just like, I wanted to leave like the whole time. And let it be known, we did not go on another date.
Yeah, that is so fucking funny. And the first date was like normal, right?
It was totally normal. We went on like a stroll through their neighborhood and just talked about life.
Yeah. And then the next time it's like, okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Cuts my jeans into shorts. Dances in front of a mirror with myself for an hour.
I'm going beast mode. My jeans are getting cut into jorts.
That was so funny.
I will say, I'm sure this person will never hear this, but thank you to that person, because it was a very iconic story. And I was not bothered.
Yeah, no, they were... they were just living their fantasy in the only way that they... Yeah, that's one of those situations where when it happens, it's just like, is this really happening to me right now? I can't believe this. And like, not a negative or a positive way. Just like, I can't believe that this is even going on type
just
of way.
Okay, just gotta roll with the punches. Gonna dance awkwardly at this gay bar.
Yeah, you did not have the Jane reaction of like, wow, she just does everything she wants.
Yeah.
She has no fear. She cuts her jeans into jorts.
She cuts her jeans into jorts.
You also did have one date where you dropped a Jinjo Romantica line. You've talked about this on the podcast. That's a moment when you are the alien in the situation.
I was the space alien. At least I had the good sense not to say that's from Jinjo Romantica.
Have you ever been to Coney Island?
Just once, I think.
Oh, okay. But that's also kind of a trope of, like, we went to Coney Island to talk about our problems.
I know, yeah. They go and they look at the ocean and they talk about their feelings.
Because Jane knew that Zoinks had gills, in addition to having alien sex, they had to have had human sex too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I think the big Victorian collars were supposed to, like, cover up the gills. Oh. There's a scene where Zoinks is showering with Jane, and Jane's like, do you want me to take off your collar for you? And Zoinks is like, no, no, no. So I'm assuming that's why the aliens wear them even when they're naked. But
that makes sense. I forgot about the scene where they were showering, too.
Yeah. I would assume that they did have regular sex. Regular human earth sex.
Yeah, earth sex.
I know with Bar and Xylar, they have sex right in front of that cheesecake because all you have to do is touch each other's noses.
Is that, like, is the alien sex thing, is that a trope that has come from sci-fi in general, or is it Star Trek specifically?
I think it was a Star Trek thing that they're referencing, because the Vulcans, they have, like, a ritual thing.
Yeah.
yeah, where they touch their fingers together in a certain way. Man. They just came out with a Bishojo Spock figurine.
What?
Yeah.
Can I look at this for a sec?
She's actually so cute.
Oh my god, she's so cute. Wait, right? You're right. She's really cute.
I know. I was really happy because sometimes they give the Bishojo figures, like, long hair, but they gave her a cute short haircut.
She looks like you.
I take that as a compliment. I wish I looked like her. Are you kidding?
She's cute. Are you going to buy her?
She's so cute. I don't think so. She's really cute, though.
I don't own any of the Bishojos, but there are some that I want. But the horror ones now are so expensive. I also love the, talk about lesbians, the Chucky and Tiffany.
Oh, yeah.
Bishojos, those are so cute. And
so cute.
Tiffany, too, voiced by Jennifer Tilly, who was also Violet in Bound.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was also Chucky. So, again, talk about lesbians. Though Jennifer Tilly is not lesbian in real life, I don't think. But she is a professional poker player now. Erin, why don't we just kind of call it early?
Yeah, I guess to finish this off, just so you know, codependent, lesbian, alien, space, fuck, this fucking movie. It was rated number 9 on Autostraddle's top 14 heterophobic movies.
Actually, I did want to talk about that because there's some things on that list that I thought were funny.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait, I just accidentally scrolled down on Wikipedia, made a great connection. Ed Wood's Glenn or Glenda is said to inspire the characters Glenn and Glenda in the Chucky franchise.
Oh!
Which I believe is Chucky's non-binary child. Did you see the clip from the Chucky television show where Chucky is, like, talking to the boy? And the plot of the Chucky TV show, I guess, is, like, little boy is gay and is struggling. He befriends Chucky, who is like, it's okay, we can be evil. But at one point, Chucky is talking to the kid and he's like, yeah, I got a kid. Gender fluid.
Yo!
Yeah, oh that is, God. It went viral for being just, like, really cheesy. So we got on the Bishojo Chucky Jennifer Tilly tangent separate, right? That was a completely different tangent, but I'm tying that back in because Chucky's gender fluid child was based on Ed Wood's Glenn and Glenda, which inspired codependent lesbian space alien Seek Same.
Wow.
Wow. We've tied it all together. Look at that.
That's perfect. This is kind of a short one, but we're not going to get better than that.
We're not. That's how we have to end it, actually.
All right. This was just good. If you like...
This is great.
Yeah. If you like weird movies and you're a lesbian, if you've ever laughed at literally any SNL sketch ever...
If you're a fan of What We Do in the Shadows, I think you would this. Yeah. That's fair. Has kind of a similar sense of humor.
That's fair. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GaysGays. And there you can find out about our upcoming episodes and tweet with us, slip or slide into our DMs, whichever is more comfortable for you. And also, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it. We'd really appreciate it. We're also available at Erin@gazegaze.com. You can send us thoughts, ideas, or recommendations. Tell us about your bad dates, maybe. That'd be fun.
I would love that. Yeah, we would share them on air with your permission, or you can just vent them to us and say, don't read this.
Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look in Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can and should buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com, but you can also stream it on Spotify. Next week, we're going to be doing Naked and Afraid of Love.
I know, I'm so excited. I watched this like while it was airing last summer, and yeah.
Incredible.
Ready to talk about it, ready to rewatch it.
Me too. I'm going to start this. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's on Discovery Plus.
Oh, is that part of HBO now?
I don't know if it is, but I still have the subscription, so...
Yeah. Okay. Fuck you, HBO. We used to love you. We used to love all your content, but now you fucking deleted all of it. Now we hate you.
Now we hate you, actually. Okay, let's end this. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Erin.
And oh, yeah,
you're
Erin.
And we're gay. And goodbye.
I gotta go back to my home planet. Bye.
Bye.